Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. To show causeless mercy to the devotees who would take birth in the future in this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, acted in such a way that simply by remembering Him, one will be freed from all the lamentation and unhappiness of material existence. In other words, He acted so that all future devotees, by accepting the instructions of Krishna consciousness stated in Bhagavad Gita, could be relieved from the pangs of material existence. Purport. The Lord's activities of saving the devotees and killing the demons, paritra nayu sarunam vinishai tuduskritam, take place side by side. Krishna actually appears for the deliverance of the sadhus or bhaktas, but by killing the demons, He shows them mercy also. For anyone killed by Krishna is liberated, whether the Lord kills or gives protection. He is kind to both the demons and the devotees. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Melitam Dhyana Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So first of all, I'd like to seek blessings from the assembled Vaishnavas that I can speak something of relevance that will inspire us in our own Krishna consciousness and help push forward the mission of Srila Prabhupada. So Krishna, He is very efficient. That by performing one activity, many objectives are accomplished at the same time. If we look in the pages of Nectar of Devotion, we will find there the list of 64 qualities, transcendental qualities of Krishna. And amongst those qualities, we will find that Krishna is very clever. And this quality means, this word clever, it means that one can accomplish many feats at once. Some examples are that, like, when Jarasandha attacked Mathura, Krishna had the opportunity to establish Dwarka, and at the same time, when Jarasandha was attacking, Krishna was contemplating this verse we're hearing today, Puritranai Sarunam Vinashaya Tuduskritam, his mission statement. So he also rid the earth of the burden of demoniac forces. That Jarasandha, Krishna let Jarasandha live just so he could go back, regather his army and come back again to attack Mathura. And then on the 18th time, when Jarasandha came, then Kaliyavana also came to attack at the same time. And just by running away from Kaliyavana, Krishna not only killed Kaliyavana without even touching him, but liberated Muchakunda at the same time. Also, by Krishna being present on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, that gave the Pandavas the power to be able to win the battle. So Yudhisthira could be established as the emperor of the world. Krishna wanted to see his devotee glorified. That also, Krishna at that time as well wanted to annihilate the demoniac kings to relieve the earth of that burden. And also, most importantly for us, He spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna for the welfare of all living entities for all time. The example is given actually in the Nectar of Devotion that Krishna, as He is fighting and killing the Aristasura demon, that just by the movements of His eyes, He is giving pleasure to the gopis. Yes, we cannot imitate. So Krishna, yes, he kills the demons. Does that mean that he is inimical towards them? Actually, this is a hot topic of the Bhagavatam that we find in the first chapter of the seventh canto. The whole chapter is dedicated to this subject matter. That Parikshit Maharaj, he inquired from Shukadeva Goswami. He said, how is it that the Supreme Lord, how is it that Krishna acted partial just like a common man for the sake of Indra, to kill Indra's enemies? How is it that the Supreme Lord, who is equal to everyone, became partial to one and inimical to others? And what was Shukadev Goswami's response? Saru Prishtam, excellent question. The speaker of Bhagavatam becomes so enlivened and enthused when proper relevant inquiry is made, because it gives him the opportunity to speak about and glorify the Supreme Lord and his devotees. So Shukadev Goswami, he said that actually this is not the first time that this question has been asked. That when in the sacrificial arena of the Rajasuya Yajna, Shishupal had just been decapitated by the Sudarshan Chakra of the Supreme Lord. And Yudhisthira Maharaj, he turns to Narada Muni and he says, my intelligence is completely bewildered. I cannot fathom what has just happened. That Shishupal, before he could even speak as a child, he started blaspheming Krishna. Up until the very second of his death, that blasphemy never left his tongue. And yet Shishupal, he was never attacked by leprosy. He got no reaction. And now I have just witnessed with my own two eyes that as Shishupal was killed, his soul merged into the body of Krishna, which he attained Sayuja Mukti, which not even great sages cannot attain without great difficulty. He said to Narada, my intelligence is completely disturbed. You know, please explain to me what is going on. And Narada Muni, he smiled and he began to explain some truths to Yudhisthira. He explained that actually blasphemy, praise, chastisement and respect are all products of the modes of material nature. That the Lord is nirguna. You know, he is not affected by the modes of material nature. Therefore, it is an incorrect assumption to think that the Supreme Lord is affected by pleasure. It is a wrong assumption to think that the Supreme Lord feels pleasure and pain when he is either blasphemed or praised. Actually, the Supreme Lord, he chastises the demons only for their benefit. And he accepts the prayers from the demigods only for their benefit. Narada Muni, he makes a very interesting observation. He says that by devotional service, one cannot attain such an intense absorption of thought in thought as on the Supreme Personality of Godhead as one can through enmity towards him. Very interesting point. You know, by devotional service, one cannot attain such an intense absorption in thoughts on the Supreme Lord as one can through being inimical towards him. Don't worry, we don't have to change our sadhana. Then we start 16 rounds of blasphemy, hurling rocks. No, we don't. That wouldn't look good for our society. And plus, Rupa Goswami says, favorable devotional service, you know, that to attain Krishna Prema. means enmity, like being an enemy towards the Lord. So, Narada Muni explained that actually there are five different ways in which many persons have become liberated from meditating on the Lord, in five different ways. That the first is through fear. Meditating on the Lord in the mood of fear. That, and the example is given of Kamsa. Right? He was petrified of Krishna. He knew that Krishna was specifically came to kill him. Everywhere he looked, he saw bad omens. And then there's the mood of being inimical to Krishna. That the example is given of Shishupal, who I explained. Blasphemy never left his tongue. Blasphemy of Krishna never left his tongue. And then there's the lusty desires of the gopis. That the gopis, obviously always liberated because of their attachment to Krishna through spiritual lust. There is also the mood of affection, just like that of the Pandavas. And one meditates on the Lord through devotional service, like the general mass of devotees. So Narada Muni went on to explain that actually to Yudhisthira, that your two cousins, Shishupal and Dantavakra, they were no ordinary personalities. They were the gatekeepers of Vaikuntha, Jai and Vijay, who fell, who were cursed by the four Kumaras to take birth in this material world. And then Narada Muni goes on to relay the wonderful pastime of Sri Nrisimhadev and Prahlad Maharaj. So in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended to this world with the same mission statement in mind. Paritranai sarunam vinashai tadushkritam, to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants. But if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to establish a mission to kill the demons, there would be no one left on this planet, right? So more specifically, he came to destroy the demoniac tendency in the conditioned soul, the demoniac qualities in the conditioned souls. What is that? Ishvaraham aham bhogi, to control and to enjoy separately from Krishna. Aparayam itastamyam prakritim vidime param. Jiva Bhuta Mahabaho Yayadam Dayate Jagat. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that besides these inferior energy, there is this superior nature, which comprises of the living entities, which are exploiting this inferior nature. So in this age of Kali, we find at the slightest misunderstanding, the slightest provocation, causes hatred, violence, and war. It is explained that just as in a forest, one may not intentionally go into a forest and light a fire, but as nature's laws have it, by the wind blows the bamboos rub against each other, cause friction, and the sparks fly in, and whoosh, a burning inferno. So similarly, in this age, we may say or do things which we may or may not intend, you know, to cause friction, but it's just the nature of this world. You know, sometimes the things that we say or do may cause friction, and from that friction, sparks fly, and then from those sparks, whoosh, blazing inferno. So much disturbance, so much disturbance. And we cannot change that. It is the nature of the world. But what we can do is protect ourselves from it and create a society where we can train people to protect themselves. Srila Prabhupada, he said that actually there is no demoniac force strong enough in this world to check this Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is no demoniac force strong enough to stop this Hare Krishna movement. But there is one thing and one thing only that can stop this Hare Krishna movement. And that is our own nonsense tendency to find fault, to criticize and cause conflict in the society of devotees. That when this tendency arises, we should understand that this is the greatest enemy of the world, which has come not only to destroy our own spiritual life, but to cause great harm and disturbance to the mission which has come to save the world in its darkest hour. One should know that when this, when one thinks bad of devotees and one speaks in that way, then we should know that we are no less than a servant of the soldiers of Kali. Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai. Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Shishi Gaura Nitai ki jai. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, E otta kalir chela, that here is another disciple of Kali, that he is wearing tilak and kanti mala, but if we look, he is engaged in all nonsense activity. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is specifically referring to the Prakriti Sahajiyas. You know, although the Prakriti Sahajiyas, they have long beards and hairy chests, they wrap themselves in a sari, put on some blush and lipstick, and hey presto, I'm a gopi! You know, do we remember reading that in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam? That Krishna, he's standing in the forest of Vrindavan with the, playing his flute in the beautiful full moon night in the month of Sarat. And the sound of the flute attracts all the transvestites in Vrindavan. You know, the cowherd men wrap themselves in a sari and run off to Krishna. No. Srila Prabhupada writes in the pages of, in his purports in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that actually the Prakriti Sahajiyas, they are very critical of pure devotees. That they criticize pure devotees, saying that there is no need to write books and study Shastra. That one only need to dress like a gopi and go and dance with Krishna, and one will attain Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains that because they criticize pure devotees, they are clearing their path to hell. Just because one is wearing tilak does not mean one is a devotee. Just because one is wearing a dhoti or sari does not mean one is a Vaishnav. Hiranyakashipu wore a dhoti. Jagai and Madai wore dhotis. They were the epitome of demoniac qualities. Just because one is chanting 16 rounds, following the four regulative principles and attending Mangala Aarti does not mean one is a devotee. When we perform our sadhana and then we criticize and find fault in devotees, it is like going to Krishna, touching his feet, offering sweet words, and then picking up a stick and beating him on the head. When we, or even worse, you go to someone, you touch their feet, offer them a gift, you know, and then you turn around and kick their child in the face. Will that person take your devotion seriously? No, of course not. He will reject immediately. Sometimes we may find that advanced and experienced devotees will criticize and find fault in someone only for moral or philosophical deviation, only to enliven and enthuse one on the path of pure devotional service. This is the only reason, and one must attain authority, be authorized to do that service. So nowhere in Shastra do we find that a Vaishnava is known by the way he looks. Vaishnav is known by qualities. Throughout the whole Shastra we find about the beautiful qualities of a Vaishnav. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught four principal Vaishnav qualities through four of his most intimate associates. He taught the quality of tolerance and forbearance through Haridas Thakur. Srila Haridas Thakur, he was being beaten in 22 marketplaces. It's described that when he was being beaten, flesh was coming off his body. His bone was showing. What was he doing? He was praying to Krishna for the deliverance of the people that were beating him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the quality of self-control through Srila Ramananda Roy. That Ramananda Roy was directing his play called the Jagannathvallabha Nataka, and he was employing the Devadasi dancing girls. You know, and Ramananda Roy would personally bathe and massage oil onto the bodies of these Devadasi dancing girls with his own hands. And his mind remained undisturbed. Yes, we can definitely not imitate. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught the quality of simplicity or straightforwardness through Damodar Pandit. That Damodar Pandit was so straightforward that sometimes he would even correct the Lord. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur used to say, Saralata hi Vaishnavata, that simplicity is Vaishnavism. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the crest jewel of all Vaishnava qualities through Srila Sanatana Goswami. Does anyone know what that quality is? Yes, Sarah? Sorry? Yeah, humility. Humility, yeah. The crest jewel of all Vaishnava qualities. Materialists, they cannot understand this quality. The best definition I have heard of this quality of humility is by Srila Sanatana Goswami himself in his Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He says that humility is when one is feeling extremely low and fallen, but at the same time is endowed with all excellences. That we know how the Lord treated Sanatana Goswami, that when Sanatana Goswami, he escaped from prison and with great difficulty made his way through the mountainous tract of land to Varanasi. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being the omniscient Lord, knew he was at the door of Chandrasekhar, and he asked Chandrasekhar to bring him in. And then when Sanatana Goswami saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they embraced and their heads were resting on each other's shoulders and they were crying and crying and crying. Sanatana Goswami, he said, he petitioned the Lord, please do not touch me. He was thinking himself very extremely fallen and low. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu grabbed him by the arm, sat him down in an elevated seat and started cleansing his body with his own hands. And Sanatana Goswami was saying, my Lord, please do not touch me. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, I am touching you just to purify myself. Because by touching your body, because by the force of your devotional service, you can purify the whole universe. So these are Vaishnava qualities. Tatikshiva karunaka surita sarvadehina majata sarvata shanta sarva sarabhushana, that a genuine saint, a sadhu, a Vaishnav, is merciful, tolerant, is a kind friend to all living entities. He has no enemies. He's peaceful. He abides by the scriptural injunctions, and all his characteristics are sublime. If we do see fault in the devotees, we should at least be humble enough to know that me seeing the fault is millions and millions of times worse than the fault being seen. We know that the modes of material nature are all pervading in this world. And for the aspiring Vaishnav, no doubt we will be feeling the pushings and pullings of these modes. But it is stated in Shastra, Tapo divyam putraka yena sadvam shudyed yasmad brahma silkam tvanantam. This human form of life is meant for tapasya, it's meant for austerity, to attain divine knowledge. So no matter how much the modes are pushing, one has to refrain from speaking nonsense about devotees. Just as when we are sitting in front of the deities, in front of the sacred fire, and in front of the guru, we make our vows to follow the regulative principles. And no matter how much the modes are pushing, we never ever break those vows. So similarly, we should also take a vow not to speak bad, to criticize or find fault in any devotee. But it is not that we just grin and bear it. You know, if this tendency does come up, it is not that we just, you know, grit our teeth and grin and bear it. No. That we should try to be absorbed as much as possible in constantly hearing about, chanting and remembering the wonderful qualities of the Supreme Lord and His pure devotees. So please know, if we always strive to serve, to respect and honor devotees, Krishna will give us everything we need to go back home, back to Godhead. So, in conclusion, Samoham Savabhuteshu Namadvashyosti Napriyaha Nap. Nabhajanti samam bhaktya mai teshu chapyaham. That I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone, but whoever renders service to me is a friend to me, and I am also a friend to him. So remember, Krishna, he chastises the demons only for their benefit. He accepts the praise of the demigods only for their benefit. In that way, he is equal to everyone. But the Vaishnavas, the devotees, they're Krishna's pet children. Therefore, how careful we must be in dealing with Krishna's pet children. We must be proactive to uproot the sanata. You know, my Gurudev, when he saw that tendency in me, he gave me the instruction that you serve all your godbrothers like they were sannyasis. And it is because I took that instruction as my life and soul. That is the only reason why I am sitting here today in the assembly of devotees. So I thank you kindly for patiently listening. Maybe there's some comments from the senior Vaishnavas or questions.